Where do the misfits go when they want to fit in? Cause I'm feeling alone. Where do the oddballs roll and the psychos swim? Cause I want to fit in.
I'm back. Welcome to your holiday bonus episode. My name is Emma Dayton Peterson, and I am the host of this podcast. I'm currently in between seasons, but wanted to hop in and bring you guys a little bonus episode as a little end of the year holiday gift. And I have a really good episode here for you. Brian Pataka is a career and life coach who works with actors. In this episode, we talk a lot about agents and how to get agents. So if you're someone who is looking to get representation, keep listening. But we also talk about so much more having to do with the industry. Brian is wonderful, and if you listen to the entire interview, he has a gift for you all as well. So, without further ado, here's Brian. Awesome. Well, I want to just kind of start off, give you a little bit of a background of the podcast.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm an actor in LA, obviously.
Yay.
I got my BFA in acting down in Orange County at Cal State Fullerton, and I have this amazing training under my belt, and I feel really confident in my skills and how to tackle a character and objectives, all of that.
Yeah.
But I left school and had zero idea what to do with it. And throughout my I was there 4.5 years, and I barely got any training of what to do with this, with these skills that they were giving me. So I moved up to LA and I thought, yes, this is it. I'm going to be a star.
Yeah.
And then of course, nobody came knocking at my door, and it's a lot more work that I didn't know. So I started reaching out to people and networking and thinking, how did you do it? And what were your steps and things like that? So I started a podcast to try and help other people and share it with other actors that also have no idea what they're doing.
Love it.
So now 6 months in, I have a much better idea and I'm a better actor for it. So that's why I'm here.
Got it. Great. I love it.
And I wanted to bring you on because working with actors and career coaching and all your agent stuff and everything, you really know how to make this business work for actors, as far as I'm concerned.
Thanks.
So yeah, I just want to pick your brain a little bit on that and kind of spread the wealth.
Sure, for sure. I'd love to. And I love this work, so I'm happy to do it.
Awesome. Well, I would love to just kind of start at the beginning here about how you got into the world of career coaching.
Sure. So I was an actor in New York City and an actor in Los Angeles. And when I was acting in New York, I went to Northwestern, and I had the same story you did of not having any training on how to do the business. But I was also a voracious reader. And so I would go down to the drama bookshop in New York and the one also in Chicago and grab any book on the business. And so I read them kind of voraciously. And my first job in New York was working in an advertising agency. And I worked at it's called Sereno Coin. It still exists. And their clients are only Broadway shows. So the people I was working for, my clients were all producers of Broadway shows. So I was talking about theater all day long and how they made theater happen and how to market it to audiences. So my brain was really turned on to how do you attract the attention you want to attract. After about 2.5 years, I walked into my boss's office and said, I have to quit because I don't want to grow up to be you. And we were friends, so it was okay that I said something like that to him. I quickly got into an acting job right away. I knew that I wanted to be an actor still. I just knew that that was my way of getting to New York from Chicago. I got an acting job right away in a show called The Donkey Show, which ran for 7 years. I was in it for 1.5 years, which is a musical. It's a disco musical of A Midsummer Night's Dream. But it was the greatest gig because
so
incredible, right? And it's the greatest gig because we had 6 shows a week. It was my first, I was getting paid every week. I had a job to go to every day. So I would go to my job at night when I had shows, and then I would go to auditions during the day. And in my own seeking of training after Northwestern, which I always call like your adult grad school, whether you go to grad school or not, you have your own form of grad school. Like you find the studios that are in the city you're in. My acting teacher said to me, she said, you know, you're really good at this. Maybe you should start a little group of people who get together and you help them. And so I started a little group of people that I would get together and coach them on the business. And at the same time, a company had recruited me to teach the business of acting like around the world. And so I would travel with them and teach at like the Southeastern Theater Conference or the Northeastern Theater Conference in London. And I was getting a good handle on how actors can make it happen in the business. And at the same time, I was having my own career. So all the time, this coaching thing was just on the side hobby because acting was working out for me. And so this was another place where I made some money. I was doing a lot of commercials in New York and I came to LA and because I knew I had to come to LA at some point. And in LA, I was like, okay, I'm going to be an actor here and maybe I'll do the coaching thing. And then after like less than even a year in LA, I started coaching again. And I immediately was like getting in a bad mood every time I got an audition because I did not want to cancel on my clients. And I kind of noticed that. And then a friend said to me, what if you just like give up on the acting piece while you just coach for a while? And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm an actor. I could never do that. And she was like, well, what if you just like give it like 2 weeks? And I was like, okay, well, I'll try it for 2 weeks and see if I can live with it. And it became very clear to me that I loved coaching more than I loved acting. And that was such a weird wake-up call to experience something which you've devoted your whole life to and your training and like your understanding of who you're going to be. And then to just wake up and go, oh, well, I actually have more fun working in this way. And then eventually what I came to realize is, of course, that acting background is what makes me more prepared to do the work that I do now. Because I can speak the language of actors, because I've been on stage, because I've been on sets. I booked hundreds of commercials. It was for a long time, my whole life I was making my life living as a commercial actor. And when I first came to LA, I booked a lot of TV. And that's when I think I started to be like, oh no, I don't, this is not my thing. It suddenly became very weird, clear to me. And then I sought real training. So anyone can just call themselves a coach, but I also think there's real life coach training. So then I went and got real life coach training to go along with all this marketing background that I had. And I got that at something called CTI, the Coaches Training Institute, which is a wonderful organization. If anyone's thinking about any, and people go there from all different walks of life. You don't have to become a coach to train there. I just kept putting into practice and putting into practice and putting into practice and just falling more and more in love with the work that I get to do. And now I'm in, at the end of this year, I will be ordained as a reverend, non-denominational, because a lot of my work, I believe, you know, you're called to acting. Most people are not grown up in a house of actors and then you must become an actor. No one's really forcing anybody to be an actor. And so I really believe that you're called to acting, and that understanding around stepping into what you're really called to in your life is what led me to train as a spiritual practitioner and to be able to have that be part of the conversation that I'm having. That was a long-winded answer to your question, but I hope that kind of got you there.
It does. I love that you listen to your gut. I think it's something with actors, we're all afraid of making that change sometimes, but there are so many avenues in the entertainment world. So I like that story.
Good.
So today, what services do you offer now for actors?
Sure. So right now, if you were to say, Brian, I want to work with you, there's two places you could go. The first one is Actor Operating System. And that to me, the best way to describe Actor Operating System is going to sound so weird, is life coaching with an audience. Because basically what it is you become a member of the program. The program is a year long and I see you 4 times a month. And I see you in 3 different ways. I see you 2 coaching calls a month and we're in a group. So there's a bunch of us on a Zoom screen, essentially. And you're going to raise your hand. I said, great. So what do you need help with today? Let's talk about it. And so then I coach you, which you're in a group, but I'm not like getting input from everybody else while I'm coaching you. So that's why I say it's life coaching with an audience, because what I think happens is your experience gets accelerated or your wisdom is accelerated because you're watching someone else asking a question that you may not need the answer to yet, or they're asking the question you didn't know you needed the answer to because you didn't ask for coaching on that on this particular day. And what happens is I just see people's careers just quadruple in speed in that moment because they're picking up stuff from everybody else's questions, even if it wasn't the question that they came to the call with. So in Actor Operating System, we see each other 2 times a month in a coaching call. And then we have something called a study hall, which is my favorite thing. And it's basically Zoom. We log on to Zoom for a couple hours and we just get work done for a couple hours. And I say, and every 20 minutes or so say, hey, does anybody have any quick questions? Great. And then it's like we're in a library or something. We just get things done. And this way, people are held accountable to what they say they're going to do inside of the coaching program. And then once a month, we have a copywriting hour. And basically what this is you give me all of your marketing materials and I'm editing them in real time on screen, on Zoom, and helping you understand why I'm making the editing choices that I am. So for me, the reason why this program is a 12-month program is it's called Actor Operating System, meaning I want the systems in your acting career to be easy so that you're not recreating the wheel every single time you book a job or every time you say, you know, I should really work on my acting career this week. Like that you're not picking it up from scratch each time. And so you're creating systems so this becomes easier and easier for you rather than you know, like I always feel like actors will book something and they'll be like, well, I should really like get the word out. And I would say, yes, but you also should have been getting the word out 6 months ago when you weren't booking. And so this way we've created a system where this is already happening for them. So that's the easiest way to start working with me is in that program. And that program is really reasonably priced because it's monthly. And then the other is my program that I'm known for really well is Agent Goals. And Agent Goals is a program where I help people get representation. And so far, this program has a 100% track record, which makes me feel really excited. And I'm going to say that until it's no longer true. And the program is really based in what I find in this program is it's around naming your calling, owning the story of who you've been as an actor, and then using that story to attract managers and agents rather than it being a puffed up version of yourself or a fraudulent version of yourself and making it sound like everything's great and awesome in your career, which is what I find so many people do when they reach out to managers and agents, is actually owning where things have gone well and wrong and why there's now space for representation to join this ride, as opposed to everything is perfect over here. Why don't you get on board? Which is actually not helpful for a manager or agent to hear, because then great, why do you need me? Like, why would I bother, right? So what we want to do is create that space for them. So those are the two ways to work with me right now. The agent goes, oh, sorry, there's one more. And this one's kind of the quieter one. And I think that's mostly because of the times that we're in. So the other one is called Audition Magnet. And Audition Magnet is my first program I ever made. And this program is, so we all use Actors Access. Everyone uses like the number one website everyone uses. And what I find is that actors, even the ones who have fabulous representation, their Actors Access profiles are not done well enough. And it's the number one place where you get auditions around the world. Let's just be really clear on that, is the number one place. And when you reach out to managers and agents, oftentimes they're saying, let me look at your Actors Access profile. They will ask that in their response.
Oh, interesting.
So to me, that this course is devoted only to that profile. And then what you do is you take the way we work on that profile to all your other profiles that you might put out into the world. And because too often I find that actors' resumes, they look like a dusty old passport that show me where you've been, but don't tell me where you're going. And I need to see where you're going inside of your Actors Access profile. I need to know what's next for you, not just where you've been. And so that's the big trick for that. So that's, I guess, yeah. So those are the three places I think right now that have space to work with people.
Awesome. I like the idea of giving your agents and managers your real story. Cause I think so many people fall into the trap of like, choose me, pick me. But it should be a team effort.
Yeah. What I love what you're saying is there's the pick me. And then there's also what I like to describe it as choose me. Like, can you, as you look, am I creating a story where you actually see yourself inside of it? Because when they do have the energy of choosing you, and that's different than pick me, right? It's a little bit like, I'm going to put my full story on the table for you so that you can decide if that's a story you want to be a part of, as opposed to pick me. It's more like, here's the story of where I've been and what's getting in the way. It brings a different energy to the conversation you have with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Who do you think can benefit the most from career coaching?
Everyone in the whole wide world.
Everyone.
So what I'll say is, I'm a life and career coach. And that kind of, I think, also relates to my spiritual training as well, which is if I just was going to sit across from you and tell you what to do and create a to-do list, I would jump off a cliff. Like, that is not who I want to be. If that's what you want, you should work with a different coach or you should pick up a book. Because what I want to make sure is, it's very easy for me to say, hey, Kelly, go do this in your career. Do this and do this and do this. And then Kelly can have a career where she's working on stuff she doesn't actually like. Right? Or she's created a business or a life that isn't actually what she wanted in the first place, because I'm just giving her things to do, as opposed to saying, what is it you really want? What's the impact you want to have as an actor? What does this mean to you? So many actors actually want to tell powerful stories, but then you're stuck with like, let me just take any random job that comes my way. And that to me is not very powerful and not how you want to feel. And so to me, that's where the life and career kind of go together. But I think for the career coach in general, like I'll say, actors, like you said, are not taught the business. You learn it by calling your friends. The way you describe yourself is like, called friends who are making it work and that. And you did such a beautiful job creating a podcast so you can talk to more people. It's such a great idea. And or learning what you can grab online here and there. And what I find is the danger, I believe, is just like taking a little bit here, taking a little bit here, and taking a little bit here, and never really creating for yourself an approach to the business. Because then it always is okay, I got to get it up again, and I'm going to go do a marathon. I'm trying to do something, as opposed to creating a full approach to the entire business, which to me is, I kind of separate it into seven different areas, which is a headshot, resume, reel, networking, submitting, representation. This is a little more than seven. Representation, craft, marketing. And so I think that those are the places that we want to focus. And too often we just go, the business, just this big, huge word. We're just, I got to fix the business, right? And what I would hope that a career coach would help someone with is grounding it in what they really want and then creating an approach to the entire business as opposed to just in this moment, in this moment, in this moment. So that's why I think working with a career coach can be so beneficial to someone, because what I'm wanting that I teach you something in the year that we're together and you're still using that system 10 years from now, when you're already a guest star, when you're already getting guest stars like crazy, or when you're already booking all the time and you're still leaning on systems that you've been taught from that year that we spent together.
Right. I think people forget that, especially in acting, that it is continuous. You have to do that continuous work rather. Like if you book one role, you got to keep, you got to keep going with that system.
Yeah, I think you said that so well, because I think it's really easy to be like, to focus on just the next thing, which then lets you always have to hustle instead of have a ground. Like, because my goal for actors is you don't audition at all, that you become offer only. Like that's the mindset that I bring to all of this, is how do we create a career where you are offer only? And to me, that is continually fostering relationships that actually matter, not just build relationships, which I put in quotes because like everyone will say build relationships, right? But how do you actually do that year round, as opposed to just when you book something, or just when you, oftentimes I find there's two times an actor wants to work on their career: when they just book something, or when they haven't worked in a long time. Those are the two times you feel motivated, right? And to me, we need to have that energy like going pretty steady year round. Let the business, because what I think of, let the business go up and down in terms of your booking, let you stay consistent in the way you're putting yourself out there.
I love that. So what are some of the biggest mistakes you see actors making in their career?
You know, we just stumbled on that one that I just said, which is a big one. And I could speak a little more to it, which is the like, I only put energy in my career when I've just booked something, or when I feel the lameness of not working in a long time. And the reason why I think it's so dangerous in that moment is because then the booking becomes so powerful that unless you're booking, you don't identify as an actor. And so you start to feel like, am I even an actor in the first place? And so then you're like, okay, I'm marketing the pants off of this moment because I got a booking and da da. And then the time passes and like nothing really feels like it happened because of it. And then now I have it worked for. Okay, now I'm gonna try to get it up and I'm gonna market something, or I throw some money at working with someone for a minute instead of sticking with someone or sticking with an approach for a while. The other big mistake I think the actors can often do is their emails or the way that they're reaching out is look at me, look at me, look at me. Like, look at my tape or look at my headshot or look at my this. And I know that they're not trying to be that way, but it can secretly sneak in there. Cause that's like the antithesis of who any actor wants to be. It's like, please look at me. Like, you don't want to feel that way. But sometimes it ends up still adding up to that when I look at the email, or I look at the material. And one of the ways that I think is so important is the way that I think about marketing is, how do you want the person to feel when they look at it, when they open your email? Do you want them, I have three ways that I break this down. Do you want them to notice something? Do you want them to feel something, or do you want them to do something? And so if you can ground yourself in writing your approach in that way, so maybe I want them to just feel like, I want them to laugh. I want them to feel a little lightness in their day. Okay, so suddenly I write this email with the intention of, hey, it's Monday. Things are rough around the world. I hope you're having a good day. Here is a 90-second video that is sure to make you crack a smile. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day. As opposed to, this is the project that I did with blah, 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 blah. Like, it becomes a very different conversation when you're thinking about how you want them to feel. At the end of the day, all of those things are going to add up to marketing. All of them are going to add up to this person knowing who you are, right? Another one could be notice. So maybe you do want them to notice. Hey, big news. I'm super excited to announce. I just booked da, 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 da. Just wanted to share that with you. Hope you're doing great. Like, really light. That's a very light touch there. That's the noticing to me. And then to do something, it might look like, get tickets to see my show, come see my improv show, or it might look like go visit this link, because that also could be another one. I just got a new reel, or I made a new reel, but you wouldn't just say, I just got a new reel. What you would want to say is, it's been a journey. Making a reel isn't easy for anybody, but I'm so proud of the next 90 seconds. If you could take a look at it, it would mean the world to me. If you have any feedback, please don't let me know, because I want to call this thing complete. Here's the link. Like, do you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
Oh, I love that.
And so it just kind of gets it out of the person's job. It doesn't, otherwise it feels like you're asking me to do something as opposed to offering me something. So that's a mistake that I see actors do. I also see the mistake of actors not doing any of this. I'm such a good actor. They should all notice me. Like that kind of attitude. Or I'm a victim of it's like this weird victimhood where we can be like, well, I'm not going to reach out because I don't really know how. And it's just another way of playing small. To me, it's another way of playing small because I'm not willing to be seen. Well, what am I going to talk about in my email? Just start writing the email. It will come to you as you start writing it, right? And so to me, I have my actors reach out every month or every 6 weeks to everybody that they know. That's a part of their process. And so as this becomes more of a system for you, all that mishigas, all that mess around, what should I say, kind of gets a little easier to hold on to, because it's after you send that first one, things get easier. So the big mistake I see actors do is that they'll go to an audition or they'll meet someone and they'll go, great, I did a fabulous job at that audition or that callback. That person is now going to remember me for the rest of their life. And the next time there's a job that's right for me, they will remember to call me in. Thank you so much. Goodbye. And that's just not how it works, right? You have to get that person to continue to know who you are. And to me, that's a whole system of like, here's a thank you note. And then here is a, like what I like to call like the middle step, which is like a still staying in touch with you. And then they get added onto your database and you send them something every single month. And then that way, this person is off. You do become offer only. And I see this happen for my clients all the time where the person will say, hey, we're doing this film. Would you be a part of it? This is what happens. And it happens at a smaller scale before it happens at a big scale. The only way to create a career like that is if you continually exist for the people you've met in the past. You don't have to be flashy and shiny to them. You just need to be existing for them. And then there's all those questions that actors come up with is like, well, what if I met them 10 years ago? Or what if they didn't do a good job at the audition? Or da, da, da. That's all mishigas trying to make you play small. You need to stay in touch with them anyway. So it doesn't matter how long ago you connected with them, they belong on a database in which you're reaching out to them. So to me, this is the place where most actors have a blind spot. Or it's like the sneaky blind spot of like, well, someday I'll have an agent who will take care of that piece. I know I'll do my part, but someday there'll be an agent who'll be part of this couch. So I won't really have to do that much at that point, kind of. I'm not saying actors are the opposite of lazy. I think actors are like so energetic and go for it. But what I'm saying is there's maybe this false belief around, well, if I kind of play in this sandbox until I get an agent, when I get the agent, then things will look different. It'll be a different sandbox, and then I'll do some more of that stuff. You need to be doing that stuff now, because the magic is everyone who's trying to work their way up, including filmmakers and TV writers and all, are hustling right now too. So the person you meet at the random audition you get on Actors Access or backstage is the person who's going to be in a TV room in 4 years or in 5 years. And so you want to be the person who is like, getting to know them or working with them, hustling their way up, because hustlers recognize hustlers is what I always say. And so I think being able to say, hey, I'm willing to do your project, which isn't going to pay me as much money as maybe I'm wanting to make or whatever, or the project isn't like as flashy as you thought it was going to be. I would say like, if the writing is as good enough for you and you love the role, then I would say go for it. Now, that being said, I think all artists should be paid. I think you are essential workers. So I want to be really clear on that. And I do believe in stepping in for your worth, but I'm wanting you to believe in the trajectory of everyone lifting up together. It's kind of what I say.
I think there's also such, especially with artists and creatives, such an imposter syndrome that comes in on us. And like for me, I know I've fallen into the pit of like, that's not my job. Oh. I'm just an actor, you know, that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm breaking out of that, but I know like my younger self, that's 100%. I feel like it's just not my place.
Yeah.
But we're CEOs of our business, you know, like we're business owners pretty much. So,
yeah. And I love what you said that they're just not my place. Cause I think that's a really sticky limiting belief, because it's a little bit of like, I don't want to break the rules and I'm a little bit of a people pleaser to also that can show up. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be like, I don't want to do the wrong thing. So I want to stay in my corner over here when it's time for me to do this piece. You know, my agent's job is that I don't want to go. And it actually just, there are no rules is a way to think about this. I love it. It's a little bit the Wild Wild West when it comes to the acting career, because we all know people who suddenly are series regular, right?
Yeah.
And so we can, and we believe into that, but we don't believe into our own piece, our own actions being a part of that. It's like, you're either the Marilyn Monroe syndrome, which is like you get discovered on the street, which is what we kind of believe. Right. Or you are like a gung-ho actor. And I don't want to be that gung-ho actor who works really hard for their career. I want to be the kind of like in-between actor. And to me, I don't think you need to be the gung-ho actor who's like gripping it super hard. But I think you do, to give yourself the power to walk into your acting class and act without bringing all this baggage into where you're just supposed to be working on technique, to have a way that you approach and put energy into the business so that acting class and when you're on set, you get to actually play and not bring that stuff with you. Because I think you bring it with you if you deny it the whole time.
Interesting. Yeah. I think sometimes we look at quote unquote overnight successes and think it's legitimately overnight,
right,
and forget that they were doing all this work
too. Yeah, for sure. And also remember that I think that like media likes to tell the story of the overnight success. So they'll leave all of that out of the story, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not glamorous to sit at your computer sending emails all day.
Right.
And that actually leads me into my next question perfectly. How much do you think talent plays a part in the success versus like career savviness? I mean, in other words, can you make it on one or the other alone?
One of the values inside my Facebook group is craft. And it's one of the values that if you've heard when I did that seven things that I think are part of your career, the last one that I said is craft. And I believe that it's the most important thing on the of everything. It's the place where you should spend the most money, spend the most time, spend the most energy is on your craft. Because all this work we're doing in the business means nothing if you can't deliver when it comes time to deliver. Is it possible for an actor to kind of break through a little bit, get a job here or there, and not be talented or not be working on their craft? I guess the word talented sometimes feels like it's like part of your DNA or something.
Right.
Like let's skilled, let's say, right? So
okay, skilled. Right. I like that better. Yes. Yeah.
So I do believe that you can like break through here and there, but I think if you want to have a career as an actor, that is a person who is endlessly curious about the craft and curious about themselves. Where's my limit? Where's the places I'm not willing to go? And so I guess at the end of the day, what I can say is you could get tiny success only focused on the business. But I think if you actually want to have a life in the theater or on the screen, it is about putting your energy into the talent, the craft, not the talent, the craft.
Into the skill and the craft. Skill.
Yeah.
Kind of going back a little bit to rep emails.
Yeah.
When does an actor know that they're ready to start reaching out?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I find that there's probably three different approaches from actors. One is I know nothing about when I'm ready for an agent. So I think I'm ready for an agent right now. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I just
done that.
Yeah, right. There is the actor who's been at this for a while, who's maybe already had an agent and left or wasn't working. And they're like, they need an agent. They definitely need an agent. And then there's the actor who's kind of in the middle where they've probably gotten some opportunities for themselves and they could keep doing that. But if they really want to go where they want to go, it's time for reps, right? So to me, the trick for readiness is, are you on your own booking jobs that other actors are getting with agents? Now, this is a little easier to measure when you do theater. Because in New York, if you're doing theater, I'm just giving you New York, for example, if you do New York, like it's a little easier to get a theater audition because they have equity open calls or they have course calls, right? So that you're able to get auditions that agents are also going, sending their clients for. And then you can say, oh, wow, I got a callback and that person has an agent. They didn't, or they also got a callback and they have an agent, right? So there's a little bit way of scaling kind of where you measure up around theater, at least, right? When it comes to TV film, it's much harder because so many people can't get TV film auditions without an agent. So it's like a little bit of a catch 22, right? So to me, that's when I believe it's about craft again. So are you in a class where the people sitting next to you are going in for TV and film and you see their work in class and you're sitting next to them and your teacher is a person who works with people who book all the time and you're noticing like, oh, my work is comparable. And remember, I'm using the comparison here in the original form of the word, which was to measure, not to say, oh, I suck because they're good, right? I want to be careful because like, we can all compare and despair. This is actually just being like, let me just kind of check in and say like, well, I'm watching her work and my work and like, I'm as good as her for sure. Like this is like, so I think that's a good measurement is in class is a great place to measure. And what I love about that is it's grounded in your craft. It's grounded in being other people who are working on your craft because chances are if you're in a good class, someone else in your class is going to say to you, you know, you should get an agent by now. Like someone will say that to you before you even think it to yourself. The other thing is there's three times in your, I think it's three. Let me see if I get this right. There's three times in your career, I feel like you can always look for agents, which is when you're completely new to town, because you can use the new to town-ness of yourself to be about why it's time to reach out to agents. When you just get out of school. So like if you got out of like a college or something like that, or out of a 2-year program, whatever, like you just got out of school, that's a time. And then the other is when you book something that's kind of noteworthy. That those three times, I feel like you can almost always reach out at that time. But just keep in mind, to me, you don't want to be on a rinse and repeat cycle of reaching out to reps. That's not your calling. Your calling is to be acting, right? So to really put yourself into this process, I think to do a good job in this, I think it takes a couple months to really write a beautiful email, come up with the plan of how you're going to reach out to people, that kind of stuff. And so to me, it is around the readiness isn't just did you book something? Did you just get out of school? Are people in class? There's also like, do you have the energy and the wherewithal in the life that you have right now with your survival job to put yourself out there in this very vulnerable way over the course of the next 2 to 3 weeks? Because if you don't, it's not going to go well. Because you're going to get a meeting and then you're going to suck at the meeting because you put all of your energy into the meeting, all your energy in getting the meeting. And then the meeting is like, oh, wait, I haven't been taking care of my self-care for the past 3 weeks because all I've been doing is trying to reach out to managers and agents. And now I blew that meeting. I don't even know who I was in that meeting. Where was I? I wasn't even in there. And so to me, that's why it is the readiness also has to come from, does my life look like it's in a place where I can sit down in front of my computer to do a little bit of work today? Because you're going to need to research, you're going to need to look online, come up with a database. You're going to need to know, what are the email addresses of the people I'm reaching out to? Did they write me back? All that stuff. So that's part of why I think Agent Goals is really supportive to people, is because there's a community of people going through it at the same time. And because I make you plumb really deeply into your own story to own the places where things didn't go well for you and how you learned from that. And then how that then makes you more attractive to managers and agents. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Long answer to that question, but I hope that helps.
No, it's perfect. Great. It's awesome.
Good.
Another one of the list of your seven was networking.
Yeah.
What advice do you have about networking, especially the business is sort of opening up again, but we are still in a time of social isolation.
Right.
So
yeah. So first of all,
networking. What do you recommend?
Yeah, networking gets a bad rap, I think, because we all think of it as something transactional. So I think it's really important that we let go of the idea of needing to get something from someone, but rather, what am I curious about? So the way that I think that this works during the time of COVID, I'll just go straight to that, is we're on Zoom calls all the time. Like, that's the place we get to see people. That's probably it. Maybe we're in class with people. And if you haven't tried this before, if you notice in the chat bar, you can oftentimes direct message someone. And I actually think that's a tool people should be using more often. So it can look like, you know, you were in a class and you heard someone say something awesome and you can just direct message them and say something like, hey, I really appreciated what you said about this. I know it's weird to reach out on direct message on Zoom because no one's doing it, but my name's Kelly, would love to stay in touch. Here's my email address. Here's my website to learn a bit more about me. And that's it. And like literally use that as a way to begin, or like, I'd love to know more about what you've got going on. I love what you said. And it isn't just what I also believe is when you go to an event on Zoom, it isn't just the speaker you want to connect with. You want to connect with the people who came, because those are the people who are drawn to the same thing. And I believe the universe pulled you all there because you're all attracted to meeting the speaker. But in fact, the person that you're meant to meet is probably the one who's next to you. So that being said, one of the ways that I think networking is looking right now is networking is looking a little more marketing-ish right now, meaning you're sending out emails and you're reaching out to people because you're not able to do that in-person normal moment that you would have with people. That looks like, you know, doing a workshop or going to a class that SAG's offering or doing some of the Actors Fund or any of the free things you're seeing online. To me, that is what networking is going to look like right now. And networking isn't a one-shot deal. It is, I met you. How do I follow up? Thank you so much. Blah, 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 blah. And then do I add you to my database? Do I send you an email in between that? How do I maintain that, again, offer only life that I'm working towards? Right, is by staying in touch with these people. So it isn't a one and done. Networking is a, what are the steps I take afterwards? And that's one of the systems that I talk about in Actor Operating System, is we have to create a system around meeting new people. And then it becomes less weird, because networking, I think some of the reasons why I think networking leaves us feeling dissatisfied is because we expect, like, we're going to meet someone in the Marilyn Monroe moment's going to happen. Like, they're going to say, why don't you be in this film? Like, we expect like that you're going to leave the event, whether it's online or in real life, feeling like, I've moved the needle in my career. No, you're going to move the needle in your career a year from now when you stay in touch with that person you met at that event. That's how it's going to work.
Right.
So that means, great, I got two names tonight. I'm great. I'm excited about those two people. Let me learn more about them. I'll go home and Google them and learn some more and stay in touch with them. Like, that's what it looks like to me.
I love that with Actor Operating System as well. Like, that in that group, these are all now people that are like-minded, yeah, and into the same thing and people you can connect with.
Yeah. And I think what you have to almost believe into around networking, and this is maybe what you've helped me figure out today, is you have to believe into the future of your relationship, not into the current state. So you're believing into the future of your collaboration. So everyone there is a future collaborator, not a current collaborator. So I'm believing into the future state of these people being collaborators that I will work with in the future. And my second belief in that is that the business is so small, there's no way you're not going to meet them again. So I'm going to connect with them, stay in touch, because there's a day we'll work together. I don't know when that day is or what it's going to be on, but it will come.
That actually takes a lot of pressure off of it. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't have to I feel like especially with maybe casting director workshops or things like that, you feel like if you don't get a call back the next day or an audition the next day, you
failed.
Do a good job. But that's not true.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Very true. I think I love the way you said that. Yeah.
Well, this has been just wonderful. Okay. I think people are really going to gain a lot. I just have one final question I like to end with.
Yeah.
And just what's like the number one advice you would give to a beginning actor?
A beginning actor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go to class. You think too much of your technique right now. That's what I would say. I would say you need to be in class and you need to, and get into a class where the teacher either works with people who are working or the people sitting next to you in class are doing the type of work that you want to do. They're either booking the theater that you want to be doing or they're booking the TV and film that you want to be doing, because then you know that what the teacher is teaching you in the room is actually resonating in an audition room, because it's very different than what's happening in the room in an acting class. Like, it feels so good, great, but no one's really booking, then you need to really check yourself, because it's not really working when it comes to the audition room, right? And they're not booking the tiny version of what you want. They're booking the big version of what you want. They're booking the guest stars. They're booking the bigger roles in regional theater. So we're really being in a class, like, that's the first. And then don't just think you know how to do the business on your own. Get some help. That's the second piece. Get some help. It's not something you're supposed to know. What you're supposed to know how to do is act. So get help here. Don't be afraid to ask for help around the business. That's the other thing I'd leave them with. Yeah.
And just because you piqued my interest for not a beginning actor, for like a little bit further down the line, what would your advice be?
Great. I love that. Take a chill pill. Don't be weird. It's going to be okay.
That's really hard.
Right. You were called to being an actor. So my advice to you is to believe into the inevitability of your success so that you can take actions with less desperation. It is going to happen. It is never going to happen on the timeline you imagine. Even it could happen sooner or later. It's never going to happen on the timeline you imagine. And so to let go of you knowing the way it's supposed to look, but knowing that it will happen, will let you make decisions much more clearly. And those are the actors that I think you, when you're around them, you see how there's something glowing about them. They just trust different. You could call it faith. You could call it trust. You know, you could call it surrender if you wanted to. But the inevitability of your success is going to happen so that you can take actions a little bit more lightly. Now, that isn't to say inevitability of my success so I can sit on the couch and eat bonbons and watch Netflix all day, right? So I want to quote Elizabeth Gilbert here, is you have to participate relentlessly in the manifestation of your own blessings. I'll just say that again. You have to participate relentlessly in the manifestation of your own blessings. That's Elizabeth Gilbert. And I believe in that wholeheartedly. But that is, you are just, you're participating. You are not naming what that blessing will look like. It must look like this on March 14th. You're not doing that. But what you are doing is saying, this is what I'm showing up for. I'm showing up for it. So yeah.
I needed to hear that. And I'm sure a lot of people did. So great. Thank you.
Good.
That's all I've got.
Right. Okay, I have a gift for your audience. Can I share it with them?
Oh, yes. Please do. Yes.
So this is my favorite thing that I've ever made. And I poured my heart and soul into it. And it is dearnewagent.com, www.dearnewagent.com. And it is over 40 templates to help you reach out to managers and agents. And these also work for casting directors and producers and writers. So if you already have an agent, like, grab these letters, because you'll be able to steal from them just the format of how they're done. And then when you get it, you get kind of like a 5-day guide. I'll email you every day teaching you some more tricks of how to make them really work for you. And I just love what they've been able to do for actors. And part of what I love about it is it's just teaching you a better way to use language around describing yourself. And if you've ever sat there in front of your computer and wrestled with, how do I reach out to this person? These will help you get there. And I love the URL, dearnewagent.com. I was so proud I could get that URL. I was like, oh my gosh, I need to have this.
I used it and I love it. So everybody listening, do it right now. Great. Quickly go. It's so good.
Awesome. And then we'll be connected and you can reach out to me or email me, whatever. And maybe I'll see you in the Facebook group and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm really excited.
Thank you. So this was so fun. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian, so much for coming on the podcast. I had a great time talking to you, and I know people are going to learn a ton from this episode. For everybody listening, I have linked the dearnewagent.com in the show notes below, so make sure to check that out. It really, really helped me. Actually, over the past couple months, having a break in between seasons, I did write my letter, I did send things out to agents, and I've gotten some things back. Can't really say anything else other than that yet, but your girl is making moves over here in the representation department. So please just check out Dear New Agent. You're not going to regret it. And keep an eye out for season two. I'm going to be releasing the first episode in January. So make sure you're following our Instagram, Everyday Actor Pod, and keeping up with the podcast. Go ahead and hit subscribe because that's the best way you're going to be able to find out about new episodes. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will talk to you next year. That's crazy. I hope you guys have a great holiday and a great end of your 2020. Hopefully 2021 is better for everybody, because 2020 was definitely, well, difficult, as you all know. But I'm hopeful. So I'll talk to you guys next year. The theme music for this podcast was brought to you by the lovely Alyssa. To hear more of her music, please check out her Spotify linked in the show notes below.